Lord. Hallelujah tonight. Praise His name. Praise His name.
Jesus.
It's good to know that that's a true statement. You lift your cup to Him, He will fill it. He said, if you're hungry, you're thirsting after righteousness, said you shall be filled. So happy for those promises tonight. If you have your Bibles, let's open up to Jeremiah chapter 23. Had a lot of leading of the Lord to go this direction. I planned on starting a series here, but at least on this Wednesday night, I was just praying in my bed before going to sleep, and the Lord told me a title. And then, you know, I started searching out some things, and this topic, man, you could exhaust this all over the Scriptures, back and forth, up and down. But then I was praying, He said, Jeremiah 23:10. And actually, I looked up Isaiah 23:10. I was like, well, that don't really seem to fit too well. And then the Lord said, no, I said Jeremiah. So I was like, oh. So I read Jeremiah 23:10. And I was just, you know how it is when you know God spoke. It just feels good. And I've been reading, if you're reading your family altar at all, it's just been blowing me away. Lord, man, it almost looks like I took it from it. Like I was planning this all out, but I hope you trust me that I didn't. It's just the Lord wants to help us and to lead us the right way. Amen. Jeremiah 23, verse 10. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth, the pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophet Samaria. They prophesied in Baal, and caused my people to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Well, I'm going to stop there. I'd like to speak tonight by the help of the Lord. Altars built to Satan. Let me say that again. Altars built to Satan. Let's bow our heads before Him. Every head bowed, every heart I trust as well. Is there a need you'd like to lift up as we approach His Word? God bless you, saints. God sees your hands. He knows your hearts. Let's invite Him now. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for coming. As You promised to, You said if two or three gather, You'd be here, Lord. And we come to that glorious One, the One we love so much. Heavenly Father, may You just have the preeminence tonight. May Your Spirit be able to comb through our lives, Lord, and rectify the correct altar to You, Lord, that the Word would be our only preeminence, that everything else would fall away and be destroyed tonight. We pray, Father, that You'd wash us by Your blood. Take our sins as far as the east is from the west, Lord. And may You be able to move clean and straight. May our minds not be drifting on things of this world or things of this life. But may we be focused on hearing Your voice speak to us, Father. Speak through this gift You've placed in my life. But Lord, may all of our hearts be wide open. Say, Father, speak to me, mold me, make me the way I ought to be. May we tighten up the armor tonight and prepare for another week of battle, Lord, if You should tarry. You know our hearts, Lord, the needs that were lifted to You. I pray that the preaching of the Word would fulfill every need in this place, we pray. And those that might listen later, I pray that You'll feed them as well the Word of life. We commit it to You now. We love You so much, Lord. Thank you for the confidence of the Spirit of God in this last day. In Jesus Christ's name we ask these things. Amen, amen. You may be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. I don't want to speak on the weather all night because you know my conviction about that. You know, but and those people ain't here tonight. Not saying they won't listen to it or not de-Christianizing or anything, but I just got a faith to make it to the house of God, and as Brother Branham said, I might not have faith to go in a translation, but if Enoch showed up and he was going, I'm not stepping in his way. I say praise the Lord for Brother Enoch, so I want to feel the same way toward any brother and his faith. But I will say, as a man, I'm a little surprised. I mean, to me, the weather was actually supposed to hit a little bit earlier, if anybody looked at the reports before, and it's like the Lord went ahead and pushed it back, so we wouldn't have to worry about it until after church. But, you know, we've got to either believe God's report or man's report. That's where it comes down to, and I've learned to put my report in what God has said, is that if He wants me to do His will, He makes a way for it. Amen. And I just believe that with all my heart. So I don't want to preach on that all night. I want to preach what God has given. But I believe we should try to overcome these things. You know, if it had been last winter and this would have happened, we'd have laughed at it, because we were so used to getting pounded on with snow all the time. But now we got the first time, we're all scared about it and everything. But the Lord help us. That's right. Praise His name. I know they're getting hit a little bit worse out west and a little bit north of us, but I thank God for everything. Now here in the scripture that we're reading, Jeremiah 23:10, it says, "The land is full of adulteries. For because of the swearing, the land moreth, the pleasant place, the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both the prophet and priest are profane, yea, in my house." I need to stop right there. These aren't prophets and priests of other places. These are in God's house. These are places that were supposed to be dedicated to the Lord. These were people that were supposed to be called of by God. And in there, God said, "I have found wickedness, adultery. I have found altars built within my house to Satan." Yeah, I don't plan on shouting too many. There ain't too many voices here to shout with anyhow. But this ain't a shouting sermon. But it's going to be the truth anyhow. The altar, and if you look up the word altar, it's according to the Bible here, it says an elevated place or structure as a mount or platform at which religious rites are performed or which sacrifices are offered to God, ancestors, etc. And he said, ecclesiastically, it's the communion table. You know, we call that the altar. And so the altar in itself is not wrong. It's okay, you know, that we have a place that we worship God. We ought to worship God in the Spirit and in truth. As Jesus said, you can come to this mountain, you can come to that mountain, you can come to this church, that church. What, Brother Bram said, you might have a one-hump camel, I got a two-hump camel, someone's got a three-hump. The whole point is that we're riding the right direction. Amen. Amen. So right. Having an altar is good. We ought to dedicate an altar. In Genesis, Cain had an altar, but so did Abel. The difference was one was built ignorantly. That's the first altar I want to talk about, is there is an alternate altar of ignorance that you think you're trying to worship God, but because you lack revelation, because you're listening to the wrong voice, you've built it to Satan in ignorance. You're trying to serve the Lord. You're trying to do what's right. But instead of making the Word the absolute, you base it on a feeling. You base it on a reasoning. You base it on something that you think makes sense. But at the end of the day, is it the Word or not? And if it's not the Word, then you are building an altar to Satan. Paul had found these ones in Acts 17. Acts chapter 17, he found some disciples, or Mars Hill anyhow. I believe later most of them became disciples, praise the Lord. Acts chapter 17, verse 22. Paul talking on Mars Hills here, he says, "And Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hills and said, 'You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you.'" So these people are trying to worship the right God, and here comes Paul saying, "Look, I'm going to point you to this right now, because right now what you're building isn't good enough. You're calling it the unknown God, but look, God has opened His Word in that day that He's not an unknown God anymore. He's got a name, and you need to be baptized in that name, and you need to receive this person." Hallelujah. It's not time to just have religion and just guessing and maybe. Look, God came and brought us a prophet so we would know what we're worshiping, so we would know what to pray to, so we would know how to serve God the right way. It's not okay to sit in ignorance. It's not okay to say, "Well, you know, I don't really know what I believe." We've been given a word to know what to believe. From Genesis to Revelation. And Paul was given the revelation in this day. We understand he was the first church messenger. And he comes to these and says, "You're too superstitious. You base too much on feelings and little sensations and little thoughts." And he said, "There's no word to back that up, because I can tell by the fruit of your altar. It's to the unknown God." That shows you missed it. You've missed the revelation of the hour, because the God of heaven, the God of our fathers, has made Himself known. How did Paul know this? He met Him. Amen. Amen. He had saw the pillar of fire. He had believed in that God. But even he himself said, "I worshiped ignorantly. I was trying to serve God in my zeal. I was fighting Christianity because I didn't know His name. Then I met the pillar of fire myself. There's people's problems. They're meeting somebody else's pillar of fire. They're meeting somebody else's revelation. But God is ordained to come to every individual. Amen. And to reveal Himself to you. So you won't stay in your ignorance, but you'll build to the right thing. And when Paul asked, he said, "What's your name? What's your name, Lord?" He says, "I'm Jesus who you persecute." Glory to God. Amen. "For as I passed by and behold your devotions, I found an altar with the inscription, 'The unknown God.' Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, Him declare I unto you, God that made the worlds and all things therein, seeing that He is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands." And I hate to break it to you, brother, sister, that's still true today. He doesn't dwell in certain buildings. He doesn't dwell in certain groups. He dwells in Holy Ghost-filled believers that are in this Word, that are walking this Word, that are out of this world and have been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Those are where God inhabits, and it has never changed. That has been the program since Eden, that God dwells in the human heart. Amen. Thank the Lord for the absolute of God's Word. God that made the world, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, saying, He giveth all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell in the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed in the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him, and find Him, though He be not very far from every one of us. For in Him we live, and move, and have our being, as certain also of your own prophets have said, for we are also His offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think of the Godhead as likened unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and men's devices. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Well, there you go. You're not allowed to stay ignorant no more. The Bible says He commanded all men everywhere. So it doesn't matter if you never heard it before. It doesn't matter if you don't understand the message. God has sent His Word, and now He's commanding all peoples of all worlds to repent. And there used to be a time, especially in Paul's day, where I'm sure it was hard for them to trust the Spirit to say these things. How are we going to preach to the whole world? How is He going to get all the way around the world? Now we're in this time. We're like, my goodness, you can put one thing on a Facebook and it's across the world before you recognize it. Why? God's Word will not fail. Amen. And at that first stage, there was ignorance. God winked at it until the resurrection. Until the resurrection to Jesus Christ, not just Him raised, but the Holy Ghost that was in Him split into every disciple, and it went throughout the world. As they said, it turned the world upside down with their doctrine. That's right. Amen. He said, we don't wink at ignorance no more. Why? The revelation has come. And when God brings revelation, man is required to receive the revelation of the hour or to fall away. We can't just think it's okay to be in an age gone by. No, every time people have done that, they have built their altars to Satan. Quiet, but that's all right. It's altars of ignorance. It's altars to, well, this is good enough. This is what people did for years. And they did the same. We understand Paul's day was a perfect reflection of what we're going through now in the end time. I believe the first age and the last age, you had the Alpha Bride and the Omega Bride. So they look a lot alike. They dealt with a lot of the same issues. Paul was dealing with a group far too superstitious. And I can say this as a message preacher. There's a lot of people ain't too far from that same condition. They don't base nothing on the Word. It doesn't matter if Brother Branham said it. It doesn't matter if the Bible said it. That can all be interpreted and moved whatever way I want to. It depends on how I feel about it. It depends if it evaluates by my superstition. Sure. That if something's of God, you know, I feel goosebumps. If something's not of God, I get this tingly thing on my backside. What are you, Spider-Man? Got a spidey sense? Sure. You might not understand that reference, but that's the only one I can think of. Oh, I just feel something's wrong. No, discernment don't work that way. We just had it this past Sunday. I wasn't presuming. God showed up and showed that the devil was hiding. That's right. And I tried, look, as a servant of God, I was trying just to end the service. You all know that. But I just couldn't end the service in defeat before the enemy. I just feel like David sometimes. What are we doing here? Cowering, shaking our knees. Let's get the sword. Let's go find him and I'll kill him. Amen. We ain't got a sword, David. Well, what do we got? We got this armor. Don't fit you. I can't wear this. I'm going to do something I've seen work before. Faith in God, that's right. I've seen faith in God work. I slew a bear, I slew a lion. I can take down this Philistine. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He commanded all men everywhere to repent. And God, I believe, we understand that God has winked at ignorance since the falling away of the church, since all the way back to where they knew that God knew that the seed would go into the ground and die. So during that time, as God was restoring the word back, God winked at the ignorance of the believers during those ages. That's why Martin Luther was still baptized in Father, Son, Holy Ghost. So was John Wesley. So in Pentecostal until the oneness came on. And then they went off on a tangent to the left. But God sent a voice saying, no, it is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's because that's the name of the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. She must receive that name. Otherwise, she builds another altar. Back to the things she's trying to destroy. I'm not trying to condemn people for saying they're bad or wanting to worship the devil. They're doing it in ignorance. But God has called all men to repent. When the word comes, it's time to repent, be able to lay down and do what the prophet said was the hardest thing for a man to do, admit he's wrong. To admit he's wrong. As with Jeremiah there, what I was reading, I've seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. But these aren't prophets of the world. These were prophets. We're supposed to be prophets. And he said they prophesy in Baal and they caused my people Israel. God is identifying with these people. These are my children. These are my believers. And because a devil has got in to this messenger so-called and preached, what did he preach? Listen, I've all seen in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. That means their walks weren't holy no more. That means they put on a facade that looked like what the Bible said, but deep down God knew they were lying about it. It was just a Pharisee of that time. It was the same thing in Jesus' day, and that same devil ain't died yet. It's still on the earth. That's right, walking in lies. What else did they do? They strengthened also the hands of the evildoers. How do they strengthen the hand of evildoers? That none doth return from his wickedness. They began to bless those that aren't walking in the Word. Yes. They began to make them deacons. They make them preachers. They make them because they're popular. When really deep down they know that man ain't serving God. That man ain't preaching the right Word. And what does it do? It builds altars to the devil. Right in the house of God. Let's bring it home. Right to this message of the hour. Amen. Altars built to the devil. I'm not talking idols now. There's a difference. Idols are things you worship. Altars are the way you are worshiping God. I don't know if you understand. They've adapted worldly ways of worship, creating altars. Cain had an altar. He had a word to back it with. Fruit got us out of the garden. Fruit will get us back in. But without revelation, he never offered the proper sacrifice. And it wasn't just a bad day for Cain. He left a vagabond. He left to walk in dry places. Brother, sister, this message didn't come to tickle our ears and make us feel good. It came to get the bride ready. It came her to finally be that one that Jesus has looked for thousands of years that will truly worship in spirit and in truth. And God has ordained it. He's prophesied it'll be here. And I believe with all my heart, she's here. She's here. And as long as I got voice, I'm preaching to her. Amen. We've got to identify with the Word. You say, brother, what if I got an altar of ignorance? Tear it down. Throw it in the trash. Don't reason with it. That's what he was telling, Paul was telling these on Mars Hill. He said, God winked at your ignorance, but now he's commanded you, not suggested you, commanded you, repent. Amen. Tear it all down and come to the true Word. The problem is too many people are too stuck up. They're too proud in what they've invested in their life for years and years and years just to find out it was all wrong. Many men did it in denominations. That's what Brother Branham dealt with all the time. He said, you're Church of Christ, you're this or that. You got to lay that down. It's wrong. Sure, back in that time when it first started, God used it. Amen. But we're past that now. There was a time where God let the high places stay, where God allowed places of worship that wasn't exactly right, but God winked at their ignorance. Oh, I pray I'm preaching to somebody. Winked at their ignorance until it came time. Where he said, I'm not satisfied with this no more. I want it the way I ordained it. Amen. I want to go back to the way I told Solomon to build this thing in the first place. Because even Solomon himself, thank God for a true prophet, didn't fall away. But Solomon himself began to erect altars. That's right. Altars to other gods. Why did he do it? It said strange women led him astray. If you want to type it now, it's strange churches. Strange movements, strange ideas, which start with preachers that are right in this message.
Right, sure.
Now we thank God. I thank God for the end time because it begins to bring everything to seed, so it makes it a little bit easier not to be deceived no more.
Right.
When it be, you know, before we, you know, I'm just going to use him because it's just readily available. But Jeff Jenkins used to hide a little bit, you know, that maybe he might believe this message. There's some other ones. Was Charlie McDonald? He looked like he might be a message preacher. You might not know those names, but the point is, they've left the word now. And you watch the first thing that happens. Look, I'd almost believe. I know of some people that just can't accept the message. They go on and they preach what they believe, and they try to stay holy. They try to serve God with all their heart, and I believe God will bless that. Because they just ain't bride. I believe they're a foolish virgin. I believe they'll come out saved. But that ain't the bride I'm talking to. But these people that turn their back on the truth and begin to blast it, watch their churches. First thing, I'm going to tell you, women put the pants right back on, cut the hair right off. Every man's got a TV back in his house.
Sure.
Come on now. Why? The altars to Satan now become manifested. They were in the church the whole time, but they were hidden. Brother, sister, don't do that. Don't take an altar you had in the world and just mask it over now and bring it to the church.
Amen.
Well, you know, I used to run around and drink and smoke and crowds that way. Now we'll come Christians and we'll just eat all the time.
Right.
We'll just indulge in eating instead of what we used to do in the world. But really, you ain't got rid of the problem yet.
Right.
That's right, because that's just as bad as anything else.
Sure.
You can find a drunkard right there with a glutton. That's right. In the Bible, they run hand in hand.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for His blessings and taking care of us so we ain't starving to death.
Right.
But at the end of the day, we don't need to be wasting it.
Right.
Amen. It becomes altars. It becomes ways of worship. People used to get together, as Brother Bram said, get together and fast and pray. Now we get together and feast and lay around. And there ain't nothing wrong with having some fellowship. I ain't condemning that. But you understand, when it becomes the only way we do it, what did we do? We built an altar.
Yes, amen.
And what are we worshiping with the altar? Sorry, brother, sister, I never broke through in prayer shoving my face with pizza.
Uh-huh.
Just ain't happened.
Right.
That's right. I know people don't like the word fast. You know, it's become a four-letter word in the message. But look, if my best breakthroughs have been when I'm out of the flesh. When I'm not thinking about, because that's, you know what, anymore, it's just crunching our time. Just the fact that we got to eat now. We just run out of time now. Because we're Americans. And we ain't got time no more. We got to do this, we got to do this, we got to do that, we got to do this. And at the end of the day, what do you got to show for it? Nothing. It's just a rat race the devil's put us on. And we've got some things to take care of. I'm trying to keep this balanced as much as possible. But look, don't let it become an altar. Don't let it be the way you worship to where Satan is actually getting your praise. Where Satan is actually getting the best of your day.
Amen.
Where Satan is getting the best of your effort.
Okay.
Where Satan's getting the best of your attention.
Oh my.
So when you finally get to praying, you're so tired, you can't even focus.
Sure,
we're fine when you're scrolling through the videos.
Uh-huh.
Or watching that movie. You say, well, brother, that's different. You're right, because the flesh likes that. Oh, yeah, it sucked that right in, man. And the devil keep you up all night feeding on that.
Sure will.
You pull out the Bible, give me five verses. We'll see what happens.
Amen.
But see, and then you go too far the other way where we say, well, I'm just going to quit then. I'm just too tired. I can't focus. Brother, sister, you got to overcome that. You got to say, greater is He that's in me than He that's in the world. The Lord is this word, and I want to receive from the word today, and I'm not going to let the devil get in my way. Amen. Blow them up. That's right. We are commanded to tread on serpents.
Amen.
I think anymore we think we're commanded to pet them.
Oh my.
And to make pets out of them. You know what the problem is? A snake's still a snake.
Yes.
I don't care how much you train it. You know, you're gone a little too long, might get a little hungry.
Uh-huh.
Might not find that puppy dog around no more.
That's right.
Why? Because that's its nature.
Right.
Can't blame it. That's what it is. I can't blame the worldly people for what they are because that's what they are. But brother, sister, if you're called of God, ordained by the baptism of the Holy Ghost to be the bride of Christ, it's time to tear down the altars. It's time to smash serpents under your feet and conquer the devil already and recognize that we are more than conquerors because Christ is in us. We don't have to do this. We don't have to reason with the devil. We don't have to have that altar in my house. I can tear it down.
Amen.
I think it's kind of funny now that it comes to my mind. We hear a sermon on Sunday, spiritual ambition.
I think we all got that interpreted our own way, didn't we? Oh, I'm going to be ambitious. Ain't going to be no trials. Just going to be so easy. Just going to serve the Lord. God, I got ambition. Here comes the hardships. And we just fold under the pressure. Oh, it's just so hard. It's just, where's your ambition? What happened? Hallelujah. Now there's been men who were just ignorant of the word, and God winked at that until he brought them the word. Amen. Let me bring, I'll just give you an example. I want to get going a little bit here. But King Josiah, right when he becomes king, you go read it. In 2 Kings 22. I mean, he's going right to starting to serve the Lord. Yeah. Right off the bat, he starts saying, we got to do this, we got to do this, we got to make the house of God right, we got to start serving the Lord. But then you get to verse 8, and it says, Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Oh my, yes. Yeah, you cleaned up the pews, praise the Lord. You made it look nice, praise the Lord. You put on a suit, praise the Lord. You got up, you came to church, praise the Lord. You paid your tithes, praise the Lord. But wait, we found a book. Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work. They have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Akim, the son of Shaphan, and Achorb, the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Isaiah, the servant of the king, saying, go ye, inquire the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of the book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. See, too many people, they begin to start to serve the Lord. And they begin to do things that are right. But then God will bring a revelation of something they didn't think about. He'll bring a revelation from His Word that says, you know what, you've been living in sin your whole life and you thought that was okay. Right. And He brings it to you. Brings it to you right out of His Word. Right. Now, too many people don't have Josiah's attitude. Josiah's attitude is, the Word's right. It don't matter what we've done. It don't matter how much I've sacrificed. We're doomed. God have mercy on us. Amen. And I believe the prophet of God found the church the same way. He said, there's many good men. He said, there's many good men in his office sitting there thinking they know what the word says. Sure. But they're just too afraid. Right. Too afraid they'll lose their church. Too afraid they'll lose their prestige. They're too afraid that they'll sacrifice their altar that they've actually built to Satan. But Josiah had no problems with that. Josiah's, tear it down. That's right. Look, that's the way the Christian church should be. God, or Brother Branham came to Lee Vale, I believe. I believe Lee Vale had a, that's what it was. He had a dream about being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And you know, they began, he said, they built it up. And he said, hey, it's not according to the blueprint. And the Lord said, tear it down and start over. That's right. He said he came to the water, got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You say, well, why is that a big deal? Look, when you're getting baptized, you're supposed to be getting converted. And here's a preacher for years and years and years saying, I need to be baptized. I'm not even converted.
That's right.
Oh, glory to God. See, our pride needs to fall. Our pride needs to die. And if the word corrects us, we just need to accept it.
Yes, amen. Jesus.
Don't take any pride what you've accomplished, because that is an idol.
Amen.
And your altar is saying, I have to have it the way I've built this. I have to worship God the way that I feel I should worship God. When really, you know, I'm not a screamer. I can't help it. And the Holy Spirit, come on, and you start screaming in the Spirit. It will. Sure will. I don't speak in tongues, and then the Holy Spirit come on and say, speak in tongues.
Amen.
I'm not the prophesier. That's somebody else.
Amen.
I'm not supposed to pray for nobody. I'm just supposed to stand here, and you know, once in a while I'll raise my hand. But that Lord, that's all I'm called to do. That's all. And you tell God you're calling. How can you tell God you're calling when He's supposed to be calling you?
Uh-huh.
That's like you calling God on the phone, and you know, God's supposed to be calling you on the phone. You barking orders at him, and he's saying, no, wait a minute, what are you doing?
Uh-huh. Right.
That's right. Josiah had no problems. He was ignorantly, look, Josiah was an honest man. And an honest man that's sincerely seeking God, God will bring forth his word to show them where they've been wrong.
Sure.
I've never seen it fail. God has done it. I've seen him do it on the school. I've seen him do it with other preachers. I've seen him do it with me. That's right. I've believed many things for years that I thought were okay. God has brought to my attention that's wrong. I've learned I don't need to have no pride about this. Just go ahead and bury the thing. Lord, burn it out of my life. Let me serve you again afresh. Amen.
Amen.
Now, there's other things that, there's another attitude, which is what the Pharisees had, where Jesus comes to them and begins to preach the word. And what does he tell them? He says, in honor, or says, thus ye have made the command of God of none effect by your tradition.
Right.
Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, the people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. Do you see what I'm saying? They had built an altar. They had built it with diligence. They had given their voice to it. They had given their mouth, but they didn't give their heart. But their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Because they had left the word, God had sent Christ to them to get them back to the right word. But when they turned that down, do you understand? That was death. Because that altar that God could have used for God, instead now, it could only be used for the devil. He said, you used to have a cloak for your sins. He said, they would have a cloak, those Pharisees. They would have a reason to say that they were the way they were. But I've come now. I've come and I've shed the light and I've shown them the dark things that deep down on the inside, they ain't got nothing to their religion. It's just a bunch of works. It's a bunch of makeup. There ain't nothing real about it. And they won't repent. He said, publicans and harlots will go in before you because they at least believe the preaching of John. That's right. And you can't even call this man a prophet. Glory to God. Brother Bram says this out of Shalom. He says, see, not any disregarding. But like our sisters, many a time when I speak to them about wearing these clothes and cutting their hair and little things. And man, oh, how they continue on in their creeds and serve under those creeds and things. And they're good people. They're fine people. But yet it just seems they can't understand. Look like they can't get it. Why? I go back next year, and instead of getting any better, it's worse. It continues on. Here's a sister that once had lovely long hair. She cut it off. Here's a man that once looked like he took his stand and went out for the thing that was right. He's right back in like a dog to its vomit and a hog to its wallow. See? Goes right back out into it. It seems like there's just something that has struck our people. It's struck the world that they don't seem to have the understanding. There's something wrong. Just like you notice men today, you don't find genuineness in men. You don't find it in women. Amen.
Sure.
And he talks about men for a while and things. Brother, sister, when are you going to give up on finding real men and women in this world outside of this word?
Sure.
I mean, I got to keep seeing posts, and I'm just going to talk about it for a minute here, about everyone loving their one politician they like and talking about how bad everyone else is. They're all a bunch of sinners, man. They're all liar, cheat, steal. They don't care. They're just trying to win.
Right.
It ain't nothing to do with us. They just want to be number one.
Right.
Sure, they might try to do something to make it good, but why are they trying to make it good? It's so that they look good.
Right.
It's all selfish. It's all why? Because Brother Brandon already told us, politics are the devil. The government of the world are run by the devil. So why are we even trying to evaluate them on something they're not even a part of?
Right, amen.
What? Oh, your vomit's better than my vomit? What are you trying to argue here? I don't care if you like Trump or whoever, Cruz and all these other guys. They're all trash as me as far as they ain't converted. I was trash before I was converted. Every man's a pile of garbage of sin before he gets to Christ. Amen. All he's doing is taking all his effort and building up a big monument to the devil that he actually hates.
That's right.
That's right. As he said here, they don't do it ignorant. I believe they do it ignorantly. I think that even the Catholic Church, I don't think our government gets it. I hope this is okay. I don't think they really understand that they're selling out to the Catholic Church. I don't think they really understand that we're giving away all of our rights and we're going to be nothing but ashes and soon here. They don't understand that. Why? Because Satan has deceived them.
Right.
Amen. And here we are, a bunch of crazy cranks in some little backwash church that are saying, thus saith the Lord, you're done. Why? Because we can see we've got the true altar to God. So it don't matter if I'm the only Abel here offering the right sacrifice. I know God has accepted me.
Amen.
And look, that made Abel qualified to preach to Cain.
Oh,
we don't like that. Woo! Cain could have said, you know, buddy, I was first one out. Esau said the same thing. What are you, you little punk? Little mama's boy? You telling me how to serve the Lord? Well, did God witness on your altar or not? And if God does, and look, that's the way God does it a lot of times. Why? Because he's trying to get you off your high horse and recognize there ain't nobody better than nobody else. If it ain't for the grace of God, there ain't one of us going to make it. But I thank God his grace has reached to me when I used to be building altars to Satan. When I used to make a lifestyle of it, even when I thought I was doing it for God, God would not allow me to stay that way. And look, if we begin to build them now, if you're ordained of God, you cannot stay that way. God has ordained us to tear down those strongholds and to build altars to God, worship God the way he told us to, which is in the Spirit and in truth.
Oh, yes, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. He talks about you can't even find men that are men, women that are women. Brother Branham says this. He says, what caused this? It's the gross darkness upon the people. It's something that's pressed them into it. Like the Jews was when Jesus came into the earth. Isaiah had prophesied of it and said there would be, they would have eyes and couldn't see, but ears and couldn't hear. And that's the reason Jesus prayed for their forgiveness, because it had to be that way to fulfill the scripture. And it's returned again to us. The Bible has spoken of this day that we live and said these things would come, gross darkness upon the people. And we see it that there's something that just simply the people want to, but they can't. Nicodemus expressed it one time before the Lord and said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man could do the things that you do if God wasn't with him. But it was that darkness or blindness upon the Jewish race that the Messiah might come to take from the Gentiles a bride. They had to reject him. And that's the gross darkness that's upon the church and things today, to fail to see the light that's shining. Hallelujah. See, there seems to be such a heavy press. We take some of the noted evangelists today. They're constantly screaming for a revival and working right against it, see? Not understanding without understanding. And I don't say that in the motive to say, now we've seen this and glory to God, they're not in it. I'm not trying to say that to get people to think, well, Brother Branham, you got the only truth that there is in the world. No, that is wrong, see. I'm only saying it in the light of the hour that we're walking in and for the benefit of people who are trying to seek this light. Truly, Jesus said, no man comes to me except my Father draws him. No man will ever see it. It's that predestinated seed, and that only is going to receive it. We've come to that place again. The Bible said, you're the light of the world. We've come to that place in this last day where it is. There's a gross darkness upon the people. And what's beginning to happen to those who are trying to serve the Lord? Those prophets that are from Jerusalem, those ministers, those priests that are in the temple of God. What's happened is they've let the darkness so pressure them that they've given up. They've given up on doing it the right way. They'll say, well, I know Brother Branham said that, but it's too hard to do in our day. We got to have TV. There's just no getting around it. You know, our children need it. They can't, you know, how in the world am I going to get my chores done throughout the day if I don't stick them in front of something for a long time?
Right.
And look, we can let that pressure either get on us, or we can recognize that we are the light of the world.
Amen.
And that I don't care if it presses darkness on every side, light always pushes darkness back.
Sure.
Glory to God. I don't care how little Christian you are, you're more than a match for the devil if the light of the gospel is inside of you. That altar don't have to, Sodom don't have to get in the house. That's right. It can be on every side, but you have the power and the authority. Oh, God, give me people that believe that the devil don't have nothing on the church of the living God. The church has got the authority to expel the devil away. If you're brave enough, there's the thing. If you're not a coward, if you're willing to take the reproach that'll come because you look like a crazy fanatic. And you're beginning to look like a fanatic in the message. It's a shame. But just to say you don't have TV, you're beginning to be a fanatic in the message. Just to say that, you know what, I really don't care who wins the Super Bowl, and I'm kind of tired of listening to you brothers argue back and forth about it. Why don't we talk about what the Lord did in service? Well, and I'm not even talking about this. Was something on Facebook, some brothers that, you know, I really love them, and I've fed some good fellowship, and they just get on there and blast each other about this, that, and you're like, guys, what are you doing? Why are you doing? And you know what happens? You get a complex. People don't recognize it. But because they like this team and this guy likes this team, they actually get a complex. You know what the devil does? Sits back and laughs. Because you begin to build altars. You begin to take your labor that should be given to God. And you begin to build. I think Alabama is better than Ohio State. I think this, you know, you understand what I'm saying tonight. Begin to build little camps, and people will do that with churches. look, my church is the best ever. It's got the best pastors, got the best pews, it got the best this, and that other guy ain't nothing. You begin to build an altar, not recognizing that you're worshiping yourself. Sure. Not recognizing that if you worship anything besides Jesus Christ, and He is the Word now, you can't go thinking you're just making up Jesus Christ. You either meet Jesus, that's the Word, or you didn't meet Him.
That's right.
And if you build it to anything else, you're worshiping Satan. And Satan has so duped the world. I was just talking to a man, or one of my students here. Like I said, I'm still talking about that altar of ignorance. I haven't even got to the other stuff. Like I said, I could exhaust this Genesis of Revelation of altars that people build to Satan. That he was saying, you know, he's like, well, I believe God. I said, well, that's fine. That's good. The Bible says that's good. But it also tells you that the devil believes God too.
Right.
So, and he kind of looked at me and he's like, yeah, you're right. It's kind of like saying, well, you know, la-di-da. I'm like, pretty much. You know, you believe, yeah, the devil believes in God. He kicked him out of heaven. Like, he knows, yeah, I got beat. I got beat on Calvary. Like, I got it. I believe there's a God. But the difference is the devil can't believe God. He can't have his faith in God. That's right. He knows He exists, but he doesn't do what He says, and there's no relationship there. And I said, have you met this God? Well, I believe He is. I said, I didn't ask Him that. An altar to the idea. See what I'm saying now? You build an altar saying, well, at least I believe God. Anytime you start realizing that your religion starts with the word at least, it's time to recognize you're worshiping the devil. There's no at least in the children of God. There's no at least, there's no, well, good enough. You know, this will be all right. That ain't what happened. You go look through the kings of Israel, the kings of Judah, find the ones that were successful, they never stopped at good enough. Actually, there was a man, this is an altar of unbelief is what I want to talk about. For like I'm saying, I didn't realize, my goodness, I'm already almost out of time. I didn't even get nowhere. Altars of unbelief, I'm just going to paraphrase this. There was a king, Asa, who was a righteous king. But he was having a war with Baasha, which is king of Israel. And he, instead of calling on the Lord like he had in the past, this time he got too smart for that. He began to realize, you know, I mean, I know the Lord pulled through, but that was a little reckless. You know, that was a little scary. I had to trial that faith out, you know, and I think it'd be a little bit easier to go to some worldly way to do this, and, you know, that'll be all right, you know, and I'll just kind of, you know, I know before I just told the truth right to my boss. I didn't tell no lie at all, and I didn't do nothing wrong, and God came on the scene and witnessed of it, but this time's a little different. You know, he doesn't, I mean, I can kind of fudge this little hour here I worked. I'll just go ahead and clock that the way I need to. And, you know, make this number look like the way it was supposed to so I can get my raise that I'm supposed to have.
Sure.
You begin to reason. And that begins, what happens? The second you start reasoning, you know what you're doing? You're building an altar of unbelief. Because you know you have no faith in what you're doing. You know it's wrong. You know it's wrong. And the Holy Spirit sit there and convict you over and over again, won't He? Don't do it. Don't do it. And he said, but I need to. He said, no, you need to follow me because you're building an altar to the devil. Right. So here's Asa. And he has this war with Baasha. And instead of seeking the Lord, he goes to the king of Syria.
Yes.
And he gets help from the king of Syria. You know what? He wins the war. Oh, yeah, he did. But it didn't end well for him. Because it's 2 Chronicles 16:7 says, and Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge host, and with many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him.
Amen.
Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. This prophet, look, he was putting himself on the line doing this. He's told the king in his face he was leaving the word of the Lord. And he's saying, you've relied on the things of the world. Look, brother, sister, do what the prophet said. Remember what God has taken you from. Remember how much He's delivered you from. How many times He's conquered this, that, gave you a house, gave you a job, gave you the will of the Lord in your life. And then we go and look at some little bitty battle and not try to trust the Lord again. We're all guilty. Don't do that. We all do that. We begin to take it in our own hands. Lord, I got this one. That's what Israel did. Said, oh, they're just a little AI. We'll just send a few thousand up there and we'll take care of them. And they never sought the Lord. And they fell. That's right. Because God made us to be 100% dependent on Him. 100% either perfect faith or don't do it. Amen. I know I need this job. Oh my, it's just such a good job. It doesn't got no stress. I'm going to get paid way more. But I'll only be able to make it to church once a month. But the Lord understands. He understands. That's okay. No, you got an altar unbelief. You know you do. Because you don't think the Lord's big enough to provide your needs, even though He's never failed to do it yet. I don't want to provide my needs. I want to provide my wants so I can get way more than what I need so I can have it and backslide with it.
Oh my.
Maybe that's why the Lord keeps some of us right there. $50 left and that's it. We've all been there, that's for sure. You recognize, well, Lord, all right, praise the Lord. I can't go goof off without this. Uh-huh. Amen, that's right. Here and thou hast done foolish, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Now Asa, as I said, it looked like he just built a little thing, like it'd be no big problem. But look what this altar begins to do. It takes over him. And a man who respected God, a man who served God, a man who did what was right. The Bible says, then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in the prison house. For he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. And behold, the acts of Asa, first to last, Lord, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceedingly great. Now look what good Asa's altar did for him that he had built to Satan.
Sure.
Yet in his disease, he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. See, the devil, we've got to understand that he doesn't just blank you right in the face with it. He sneaks it in one step at a time. And here's Asa, as you read, if you read earlier, he was a mighty king. God respected him. He built the house of the Lord. He taught his children to go the right way. But all it took was one act of willing disobedience to God. To willingly say, God, I can't trust you in this trial. I'm going to have to do it the way the world says I need to do it.
Sure.
So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to lie here. I'm going to lie. You understand. Do something that you know is the world. The way the world does it. You go ahead and say amen. That's all right. And he went to the world and got the little victory. Sure, the devil maybe made you feel a little bit better. Maybe you did get that raise. Maybe you did get a little bit of comfort. Come on. But then, all of a sudden you recognize, wait a minute. I'm not trusting the Lord for nothing now. Now I'm nervous about everything. Brother, sister, don't do that. God blesses us, and I thank Him for it. Oh, praise His name. He's led me in so many things I never even asked for. I thank Him for it. But, brother, don't never let the devil get a hold of that and turn it to a curse. Get you to where you don't trust the Lord no more. Always trust Him. You're not guaranteed your job tomorrow. You're not guaranteed your life but getting out of this building tonight. Trust the Lord with everything that's in you. And he got down towards the end of his life, and here he is. He's been building this altar. Look, and it didn't just affect him. Then he began to oppress others. Uh-huh. Look, this Jesus said the same thing. He said the man went away for a long journey. And what did the servant begin to say? He said, my Lord tarries. My Lord is not fulfilling His word like He said He would.
Right.
I thought the rapture would be in 77.
Come on.
No way we'd make it past 2000.
Yes, sir.
2012, that was it. Yeah, there goes all your stupid little types that ain't in the word anyways. Okay. That Brother Bram didn't say. He said, I predict. He's never said he prophesied. We understand these things. Asa gets to the end of his life, and now he gets to look at his altar to Satan that he's built. And here he is with a disease in his feet, and he's going to die. And what good is his altar doing him? Didn't do a thing. And he goes to the grave in a disgrace. That's what the altar of unbelief can do to a believer. I didn't say an unbeliever. I said a believer. The disciples had the same thing. Remember, he came. They said there was this epileptic boy. And he said, we couldn't cast him out. But Jesus already told him, cast out devils.
Right.
He said, I don't care. You know what it was? Is they got scared of that devil.
Uh-huh.
It was too scary. It was, you know, this, I can handle a headache, but don't give me some crazy boy now.
Right.
Don't give me some devil that jumps around and does things. I don't want nothing to do with that.
Right.
We still got that in the message, that's for sure.
True.
He said, why couldn't we cast him out? Jesus said, because of your unbelief.
That's right.
Instead of the altar of faith that I gave you, You went on and built your own altar. And look at the effects you got. There's that uplifted boy still ain't getting healed. He didn't pat him on the back. He didn't say, attaboy. He said, tear the altar down. He said, if you just would have had one little ounce of the will of God, if you would have had a grain of faith, you could have said to that mountain, move it and listen to you. Bring that boy to me. Amen. Glory to God. I'll show you what a real altar does. I'll show you how to really worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Well, give me that deal.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I just love it. And what did the devil do? He knows if you got it.
Right.
Because he started cowering and he started getting more excited, throwing that boy all over the place.
Right.
Did you come to torment us, you know, as they did in Legion? He said, you know, don't leave us alone. He said he began to throw it on and he said, no, get out of here, go. Get out of here, devil. Just go on and go. That's what the altar of faith will do. Don't believe the unbelief of the devil. Don't never exalt. That's the main thing. Stop exalting Satan.
Amen.
Stop exalting thoughts that's contrary to the word. If it ain't the word, it's the devil. And once the church of God gets that revelation, as Brother Branham said, when the church of God recognizes the two spirits, where are the two spirits? In the church. And by the Spirit of God, the right spirit, resist the Antichrist spirit. Not ignore it.
Come on.
Not pretend it's not there. Not just say a bunch of happy stuff knowing that sin's running rampant in all of our lives.
Sure.
But a voice to stand up and say, resist it.
Amen.
Cast it out.
Amen.
Then she'll be an unstoppable army.
Right.
Invincible army. Everybody wants to be the invincible army. When they got altars of unbelief over here, they got their altar of ignorance of what it even means to be a believer. Come on.
Sure.
Oh, I believe Brother Branham, or God sent Brother Branham to me. And there's an altar right there, Brother Branham. Because everything God did in Brother Branham, he can't do through us no more. That's an altar of unbelief.
Right.
Hallelujah. And like I said, I could just keep going on and on and on. I think you understand that tonight. I'm going to preach a little bit more here. I want to talk on the altar of complaining. Altar of excuses. Altar of murmurings. And the word of the Lord is just too hard. You all know that we could go through all kinds of examples of this. But one that came to me is when Israel, they went to the land. And they went through what God told them. And everything God had said about the land was true. Everything God has brought us about this message in this end time is true.
Amen.
That's right. There ain't nothing failed. Not one thing. But there's giants in the land.
Oh yeah, big ones.
And they didn't bargain for that. They said they began to murmur and complain and said it would have been better. Actually, let me read that part to you. Yeah, it's Numbers 14. He says, now all the congregation lifted their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Brother, sister, don't you worry about Brother Andrew. If you start complaining about what I got to say, if it was the word, you ain't complaining to me.
That's right.
You might think you're complaining to Moses and Aaron. You might think you're complaining to the pastor and the prophet. But you're really complaining about God.
Amen.
As long as it's the Word now. That's right. Any man that's got the Word no longer is the man. It's God.
That's right.
That's right. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Would God we had died in this wood, in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou brought us unto this land to fall by the sword? That our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. The people of God, chosen of God, God has done special miracles to bring these people out. And here they are, the first sign of trial. And they're murmuring and complaining. God has already opened the Red Sea. God's already fed them quail. He's already given them manna from heaven. He's already done everything. They've got clothes that never wore in 40 years.
Amen.
And because of one thing they weren't looking for, they gave up everything. God didn't appreciate this, and he still don't appreciate it today. He actually appreciates it even less today because God has done so much more to make the believer an overcomer to make a believer have satisfaction in the midst of chaos, that there's no more excuses for why we can't give God praise. There's no more excuses why we can't live for Him with all of our hearts. There's no more excuse that we need to go back to the world to find satisfaction when God has poured out every blessing from heaven upon the bride of Christ. Amen. And we just sit in stares, Brother Bram said, like the kid that can't understand what's going on. You know, just stare at every toy, don't know what's going on. Brother, sister, we should just be so jubilant. My goodness, we give all our voice to the devil. What about giving it to God for once? Amen. We give all of our effort to the devil. Why can't we shout for God once? Yeah, sure. Amen. Well, it's too hard. I'm too tired. Murmur, complain. And then you expect God to bless that. How can God bless what He's cursed? The end of that chapter, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel which they murmur against me. See, brother, sister, that's why I just read it in Proverbs there. He says, look, be careful speaking against the king. Be careful speaking against mighty men, because a little bird will come and take what you said and go fly it off, and they'll go hear it. What are you worried about a king now? How about the king? How about knowing God heard what I said? And if you've got any conviction about it, you better repent before it comes back. Sure. And it ain't what you want. Right. These people thought they were complaining at Moses. They thought they were complaining at Aaron, a little tangible man that they could talk to. The Lord said, I heard it. Right. You don't need to worry about a man hearing it. You need to worry about God hearing it. Amen. How long shall I bear? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken to my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. Oh, yes. And all that were numbered of you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Oh, Brother Bram success, letting off the pressure, 1963, is probably a sermon I've heard of. I don't even know how many times. I think it just played over and over again at some period of my life. But I always remembered this part. He's talking about when you go to a city of refuge, how many knows it in the Old Testament there, you've done some crime or something, you could run to the city of refuge, and as long as you got there, they couldn't kill you. You were safe. And Brother Bram picks it up with this, and this is why I'm bringing it in here. And then when the man want that place and found a place, he must be willing to stay there. You don't go out no more. You stay there. Then you're safe while you're there. You understand that's the Word. As long as you stay in the Word, you stay behind Jesus Christ, the devil can't touch you. Look, the Holy Ghost is a seal. And it does. It seals you in, but it also seals the devil out. Amen. The devil can't conquer a born-again Christian that'll yield himself to the Holy Ghost. He can't do a thing about it. That needs to become an absolute to you. When the devil tries to tell you he's defeating you, when the devil tries to tell you you can never go free, you can never worship like you want to, you can never live holy, you can never really be a Christian. If you've really got the Holy Ghost, it's time to stand up and to tear the altar of unbelief down, to take the altar of complaining and get rid of it and say, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen. I'm staying right here with the Lord. You can keep blabbing all you want to, devil, but you better get used to hearing praises for God, because that's what I'm going to do while you're here. I'm going to tell you, I encourage any Christian, anytime you start getting discouraged, anytime the devil starts tempting you, just start raising your hand and praising the Lord. Not just little like, oh, thank you, Jesus. No, get up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, Jesus. You're so good, Lord. Tell me how long the devil stays around. It won't be long. But as long as you're crying and complaining, that's where he has his parties. Devil likes to whine. He's real good at that one. Oh, what a relief that you must have had to find a place. As soon as you entered in the gates and the gates closed behind you, I'd be satisfied. Amen. Just think about it, brother. If I'm really sealed in with God, what in the world do I want to go out there in the world for? What in the world do I want some pleasure out there that the devil's trying to get me, knowing that there's strings attached when I'm here in the blessings of God, where I've got peace and joy and love, and God has only done it because He loves me. Glory to God, I'd be satisfied. Amen. He said he must, now listen to where I'm getting here. They close the gates behind, I'd be satisfied. Yes, sir. He must want to stay there. No complaining. Walk around and say, oh, why did I ever come in here? Now that's the way the people does today. They say they want to be free from the cares of the world. Say amen. And then they get in amongst the believers and then they say, now I'm going to have to give this up. If I'm going to have to do that, if I'm going to have to pay tithing, if I'm going to do these things and this other things, oh my, what? See, then that man complaining was put back out again. shifts for yourself. But if he would, he must be satisfied and no complaining. He says, oh, how I love to say this. I've never wanted to go out no more. Oh, it's heaven to me to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus with men and women who has fled for their lives from the things of the world and anchored their soul in a haven of rest. Oh, what a fellowship. Oh, what joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arm, pressure all gone. Not scared of nothing. Amen. For I'm safe in Christ. Yes, Lord. Brother, sister, you say, why are you here preaching to 10 people or whatever that's here tonight? Brother, sister, it's because I'm here in the haven of rest. As long as I know I'm behind the Word of God, I know that I'm in the will of God. That's right. It don't matter how many big churches there are in the world, how many millions might go there or not go there. If the Word ain't there, I don't want nothing to do with it. I want to be sheltered behind Jesus Christ. I want to have one altar erected to Christ and it be my worship in the Spirit and in truth.
Amen.
To where I can literally let off the pressure.
Yes, Jesus.
We have so much pressure in this age because we keep building altars to the devil, but expecting the devil to leave still. He will not leave if you're choosing to worship him. That's right. And you say, well, God, deliver me. God, deliver me. God delivers you. But did you get rid of the altar? Or did you leave all the tools there for the devil to come right back in? Come on. That's right. Because that's really the last thing I want to talk about is really the altar of our heart, our cares, our loves. Where are we giving that to the devil? Or is what we care about, what we love about life, what are real compassions for? Is it for the Lord? Or is it for anything else? This is what comes really down to home, which is what I'm finishing up on here. We know what the Bible says in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So you can't have a love for the things of the world more than Christ and say that you're in Christ. It's totally impossible.
Right.
You can't even love that stuff. You can't. Right. I'm not saying the devil ain't going to tempt you. You understand. But to put your heart into that, and this is what makes me really, really cautious about people that say they're believers when I watch them. And it doesn't matter, brother, sister. I don't care what it is. I watch them put their heart into a job more than serving the Lord. Put their heart more into some hobby that they have than the Lord. Look, in anything that could be good, it doesn't have to be good or evil, as Paul said in the Bible. He said, I've determined that there's nothing good or evil. Just whatever a man eschews evil is evil. Just like Brother Branham went hunting. But you know, he did that to go spend time with the Lord and to get away. Sure, he'd get game here and there, right? But he didn't waste it. He didn't just put it on trophies. He'd eat it and use it and things like that. Well, we got plenty of brothers who use that to go hunting all the time and don't matter about serving the Lord or nothing. They ain't worried about praying out there. They just want the best buck, which is all right to say, look, I want to do the best I can. But at the end of the day, are you even worshiping God?
Right.
Or are you getting more stressed out doing something that's supposed to be calming you down? Hallelujah. And that's just one example. You could go right on down the line. There's people who want stuff. So they will sacrifice all time, effort, money, doesn't matter, to have the stuff they want.
Sure.
And at the end of the day, their heart's not in Christ. When Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, there's your hearts also.
Right.
So you can say all you want to. You can say, I love the Lord Jesus. I love the Lord Jesus. I'm behind this word. Amen. But if I begin just by any person, you could look at any of us. We could look at ourselves and recognize, is my heart really? Is the altar of my heart really to Christ or not?
That's right.
And if you find yourself as it's not, well, then what do you need to do? You need to find out what altar Satan's built in your life. Because, look, you will worship something. There's no such thing as a human not having an altar in them. They've got a place that they worship. Because a human was built to worship. And that's why the proudest men in the world, they hate it, but they can't help it. They will worship something. They can't help it. They will worship something in their life. It could even be themselves. But they will worship because God made them that way. So if you don't find an altar in your heart, that means you've, or an altar in your heart to God, that means you've built it to the devil. I got to close on this scripture here, 1 Peter 5. Because we quote this, but I want to read it, what it really says here. Pray is speaking to you tonight. 1 Peter 5, and verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now, most of the time, and I'm not saying this is wrong, you know, people read that, cast all your cares upon Him. Like, so if you have need of healing or need of things, that we should cast our care upon Him. And I'm not saying that's the wrong thing to do. You should. You shouldn't cast your cares on yourself. You should cast them on Christ. But read what it says. Casting all your care, everything you care about, your care should be casted upon Christ. That, Lord, if this is something I'm supposed to care about, it's because You care about it. I'm casting all my cares on You. Why? Because He already cared for me first. It's the same as loving the Lord. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I don't care about the things of the world because Christ don't care about it. I don't care about my prestige because Christ didn't care on it. So I'm not going to cast my care on something else. I'm going to cast it on Him. Amen. And that gets people to pray for one another. That gets people to love one another. That gets people to act in the Spirit because they cast all their care on Christ. When are we going to recognize? And I've just had this epiphany myself, that the people at your job will not get saved without you. Oh my. You're the light to them. God has sent you there to be the light of the gospel. And for us to shuck our responsibility and to cast our care on ourselves, I'm tired today. I'm grumpy. And what you begin to do, you taint the only light that could ever bring them out of their darkness. I'm not telling you you're not a Christian, as I've tried to backdrop this from the beginning. I believe most of us are doing it ignorantly. We built the altar ignorantly. But look, the Word now comes. What's it time to do is to recognize, Lord, I was wrong, and tear it down and say, Lord, I'm going to build an altar to You.
Yes,
why? Because I can, because I've got the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. It's nothing I'm doing. It's not works. It's because of the grace I've received. I want to give it back, Lord. The love You shown me, all I want to do is show You love back.
Amen.
That's why you serve God. That's when you've built the right altar to God, because it's got not your mind in it, not your hands, not your labor, but deep down it's got your heart in it.
Amen.
That everything you care about, everything you desire, everything you have a passion for is because of your love for the Lord Jesus. And this message has come to do that for us. It's come to bring us back. Because before we were, like I said, building this altar of unbelief. Didn't know we were. Building this altar of complex. This one of murmuring and complaining. And thinking that's just the way it's supposed to be. But then the Word came. The priest brought the Scriptures. We read it. And he said, no, we got to tear all this down. We got to build an altar back to the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That I just want to serve the Lord. I don't want none of me in the picture at all.
No way.
God don't need my help. God don't need your help. He just needs you to yield to Him.
Yes, Lord.
How? How are you going to yield to the Lord? By giving Him your heart.
Amen.
Samson gave. He thought he was yielding by giving Him his strength. But at the end of the day, he was powerless against one woman. A man that could take men and tear them to pieces to rip a lion in half with his bare hands. One woman defeated him. Because he never gave his heart to the Lord. Praise God, he got to a place where he could.
Amen.
Where he stretched out his hands and said, once more, Lord, let me do it. I'm not trying to bring you down to defeat. I'm saying, let's expose the devil. Let's not pat the altars down. Let's not say it's okay that it's in the corner, not noticeable. Let's destroy it out of our lives.
Sure.
Last quote here. Paradox, 1965. Now they were baptized, repented, and were baptized, talking about Israel coming out of Egypt, and come to walk in a new life, in a new land, in the newness journey, among new people, and the hand of God was upon them. But it finally come to a place in this walk that they had, that they was not satisfied with their walk of grace. Oh God, help us. Help us to never get to that terrible place. They had to come to something that they could do themselves. Now that's where people think today of divine healing or some other work of grace of God, that there is something that you have to do. There is nothing you have to do but believe. Just believe God. And if they would have continued on, the promise wasn't given to them under the law. The promise was given before the law, without any conditions to it. Oh, glory to God. I have given you this land. Go on over into it. Before they got to the promise, They decided there was something they must do themselves. And that we still find out that among human beings. We're prone to be that way. There's something we've got to do. We feel that we've got to have something into it also. You do have something into it. That's your surrender of your own will. Your own idea to the will and idea of Almighty God. And it's finished. That's all there is. Just take His promise. Don't think of nothing else. Walk by it, and God does the rest of it. I've lived that way, brother, sister. Actually, let me say it like this. I'm not perfect. None of us are. We've all made our mistakes. We've all went without the Lord. We've all presumed using our own reasoning. But I can say this, when I've yielded to the Spirit of God, when I've said, Lord, I'm not going to touch this no more. I'm trusting Your grace. He's never led me the wrong way. He's never led me the wrong way. I want anybody to even show it in this church where it's been led the wrong way. When the grace of God has shown up. And whether you even told somebody something good, something bad, something indifferent. That discernment that moves through. Brother and I only got the smallest gift. We all know that God gave us a witness that outshines anything we've ever seen in the prophet of God. And the same prophet stood up and said, show me one time it's failed. Where were these degenerates back then? Where were they? Where was the man that would stand up and say, Brother Branham, you're phony. And you can fall down dead now. Where were they? How come they didn't show up until after the fact? Oh my. People get mighty brave when you're not in person. People get mighty brave when it's over the internet.
That's right.
But what's happened? They've got an altar built to Satan. And they're too afraid it's going to get exposed. So they know they might fool their fellow man, but they know they won't fool the Spirit of God. So they keep away from it. Amen. But God has come to us, thank the Lord. And any true Christian doesn't want the altars in their heart. They don't want these things towards Satan. And anymore, I've dealt with people. I've met hypocrites. I've met people that are serving God and caged up. I've met those that look free, but really deep down they don't believe it. I've met all kinds. We've all been all kinds. Come on now. We've all seen it all. What's really the defining difference? And that's why Brother Bram said, the true sign you got the Holy Ghost is you can accept the Word for your day. The Word to say, you know what? I have been wrong. You know what? You're right, brother. I shouldn't have that in my life. You're right. I do talk the wrong way. You're right. I shouldn't have done this worldly thing. I shouldn't have married this woman. I shouldn't have done this mistake that I made. But God have mercy on me. That's when you find a believer. I'll take 1,000 of those people that are just struggling and clawing, but are just sold out. We're going to do it right or we're not going to do it.
Amen.
Or if I can't, Lord, if I can't be a real Christian, then let me just die and quit. Because why do I want to be a hypocrite? Give me more of those than a bunch of people put on a fake smile. Or they got to bring two fists to keep them up because they're so depressed in their heart because they don't got any real God in their life. That still pay their tithes, show up, and parrot a bunch of quotes. Give me people that's got a sincere heart and have their heart on the altar of Christ and say, Lord, Thy will be done. As hard as it is, I don't care, Lord. I don't mean to keep you any more longer, but let's stand. Let's stand together tonight. I don't mean, Lord, to build these things. And wherever we find ourselves, we just worship. There's only a small group. Let's just start praising Him and worshiping Him. Thank the Lord. And you look through your heart, as I'm sure, as me just approaching this, you can imagine being led down this road, how many altars I found in my life just thinking about this. Saying, Lord, You're right. I do got an altar of unbelief.
Right, amen.
You're right. I do complain about this, Lord. And it's not worshiping You, so I know I'm building up something that's worshiping the devil.
Amen.
And Lord, You know my heart. I don't want to do that.
No, I don't.
I want to serve You. I want You to be the Lord of all. I want You to be the Lord of my heart. Hallelujah. Now believe like Josiah did. Look, Josiah looked at the Word. The Word said, I'm doomed. There's no hope for us, for we've left the Word. He said, but maybe God will find mercy. He said, let's do it. Let's sacrifice everything. The king of Nineveh did the same thing. How do we not know God will show us mercy? And I believe that's why we came to church tonight. I believe that those that don't even hear this message, I pray they'll listen to the end and get to this point where they recognize just because you find this altar doesn't mean you're condemned. It doesn't even mean you're not a Christian. It just means that the devil's got in and took away your victory. He's taken your worship and stole it from God who deserves it. But you have the power by faith now to raise up and say, Satan, yeah, you pulled one over on me, but the Holy Spirit's come now. You've been exposed. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I cast down these altars in my mind. Lord, may there never come another complaining out of my mouth again. May there never be a thought of unbelief strike my heart, Lord, but may I cast it far from me and do what the Word told me to do. Lord, when you tell me to worship you, may I never be ashamed. May I give, and am I, even just worshiping you in church, even worshiping in my house, may I never take the second thought, but just praise your holy name. Lord, when you want to use me to witness, Father, may I not have an altar of unbelief. Well, they're probably serpent seed. Well, you know you're not a very good witnesser. Lord, may I tear that down and say, if God told me to do it, I need to do it. Hallelujah. 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 Surrender your altars now. Say, Lord, I surrender. That's why we're raising our hands. Say, Lord, I'm casting all my care upon you because you care about me. Let's sing a Jesus, I Surrender. I'll sing it with all your heart tonight.
Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I
sing it to him now.
Surrender all the kingdoms of my heart.
Yes, Lord, sing it again.
Jesus, I surrender all.
Yes, I do, Lord.
Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all.
Sing it now.
The kingdoms of my heart.
Jesus be the Lord of all.
Jesus be the Lord of all. Oh, Jesus be,
yes, Lord,
the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. The kingdoms of my heart.
We sing it softly. If you have a need of prayer, we'd be happy to pray with you tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, Jesus.
Jesus, Lord, Jason's responded to the word and he believes it with all his heart. Lord, and as David said, if you my presumptuous sins, Lord, things I don't even know about, Lord, I want it all torn down. Lord, I don't want to be led astray. I want to be pleasing to my Lord with all that's in me. Lord, and I believe my brother's come sincerely tonight and I agree with him in faith. Lay our hearts on your altar, Lord, and pray that the fire of God would burn away every other altar. The only thing would be erected to Jesus Christ. Bless my brother tonight, Lord. Use him mightily for your glory and restore him that perfect fellowship. Satan, you've been exposed and we cast you out in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, just worship him, brother. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
The Lord.
Worship him in the spirit and in truth tonight. Glory to God. Sing in faith now. Say, Lord, I do surrender.
Jesus, I surrender all.
Oh, Jesus,
oh,
glory.
Surrender all. Oh, Jesus,
children, let's start on the right foot and just worship Him free of all condemnation, free of anything of the devil, any unbelief and complaining. Oh, just lift your voices, lift your hearts to Him. Say, Lord, I praise your name tonight. I thank you for the grace of God. I thank you for your love and mercy to me. Lord, I worship you with all that's in me, Lord Jesus. You're worthy of praise. Thank you for the Holy Ghost, Lord. Thank you for providing for all of my needs. Thank you for saving my soul, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the truth of this word.
Thank you for all the grace.
Thank you for leading me right, the right path, Lord. Lord, shine the light to my life so I can see where I was going. Oh, praise your holy name. I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord.
Praise God. Praise God.
Glory
Thank
to God.
You, Jesus.
Glory to
Thank
God.
You, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, for coming Alleluia, tonight. Don't you appreciate His Spirit?
Praise
Doesn't
God,
that just humble you?
God.
Lord, don't Thank let me be stuck
Jesus.
Up, but to maybe by witness to just one person, Lord.
Praise
you came down in fellowship with us tonight. I can Alleluia, do the same for
Jesus.
Someone else.
Lord,
Thank you, Lord, for coming
willing.
Here tonight.
Let
That's the same Spirit of God
Father.
That filled on the day of
let
Pentecost.
Here
with us
business,
tonight.
Lord.
Praise
let
His holy
be a
name.
Faithful servant, Lord Jesus.
Oh, we love you, Lord.
Father, Lord, to be about
Have you heard
Father's
His voice
business,
today?
Lord Jesus.
Have you heard from Almighty God? How
Praise
many wants to
you,
live
Jesus.
The way He wants you to live?
Thank you, Jesus.
Want to give till there's no more to Hallelujah. Give. Hallelujah.
I want to live the way He wants me.
493.
I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, love till there's just no more love. For I could never, ever outlove.
That's so true. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Glory.
I want to live.
It's the least I can do, Lord.
The way He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love.
Praise Him tonight. Can we give Him a hand clap of praise and worship His name? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, we praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. 5:10, Dad, if you want to turn there, there'll be some songs you can probably pick. But
thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. I pray you heard that the way the Spirit brought it to us. Devil getting exposed out of our lives. Look, we need to quit fussing around with this. We need to recognize it's going home time. We need to recognize that we need to be busy about the Father's business, not because we have to, not because we're being forced, but it should be our heart's desire. It should be something within us pulsating us, knowing, I care about people. I care about souls, Lord.
Amen.
I know you do. You died for them people.
Right.
Don't let my testimony ruin that.
Yes, amen.
Let me be such a perfect moon that I don't reflect my own thing. I'm not a new moon. I'm not all full of darkness because I'm not pointed the right way.
Right.
Lord, I don't want to be some little crescent moon. Nobody can tell what I'm really. I want to be a full moon for you, Lord.
Yes,
taking
Jesus.
That light you've shined and just shine it right off to somebody else.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I believe God's brought this word tonight to help us.
Amen.
To bring us to where we can do that. Brother, I encourage you just as I feel the same way. Lord, don't never let me build another altar to the devil. Every time I even see that devil try to set it up, Lord, let there be something in me rise up and cast it out of my life in the name of Jesus Christ and serve you with all that's in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many appreciate the Lord speaking to us tonight? Amen. Thank the Lord. Well, let's sing that thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you for making me whole. We'll be dismissed on this. Just to give you a little heads up for next month, I only have myself scheduled. We'll see. Maybe the Lord will. I might ask Brother Alexander. I've asked him, but we'll see if we can get a date for sure. One service, but I'm feeling led that I need to be behind the pulpit for a while. I've got some things on my heart from the Lord. And, brothers, if you're feeling like I have been, how close are we? What more could happen? I mean, how little of a thing could happen in the world and it just fall apart? I mean, just everywhere. Nukes flying. It's a fearful thing, but when I get in the Lord, it's such an exciting thing. That soon I'm going to just cross over. I'm going to cross over and we're going to see our loved ones. Oh, glory to God. All these trials and things won't even show up no more. I'll be praising Him so hard. Thank the Lord. It gives me a reason to have a hope. It gives me a reason to be joyous in the midst of chaos. So, praise the Lord. Well, we'll sing that song tonight. I'll let you be dismissed on this. Dad, you can say this first. God bless you, saints. Praise the Lord. Thanks for coming.
Oh, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let go.